Welcome to B-Ball Sports Podcast. I'm Ryan Roddy, joined by Tanner Mounts. And this is a big game coming up for West Virginia. You know, coming off that Oklahoma State win, West Virginia is now 2-0 in conference play and towards the top of the conference. I mean, you just look right at the numbers. What jumps out to you is the rushing game for West Virginia. You know, they rushed for nearly 400 yards and just controlled time of possession throughout the whole game, which really stood out to me. What do you think about their rushing attack just from the numbers?
Yeah, I mean, I think the most impressive thing about it was how balanced it was. It was everybody in the backfield. I mean, obviously, Jaheim White gets Offensive Player of the Week. A lot of the focus is on him. 19 carries, 158 yards, just over 8 yards per carry and a touchdown. Like, an incredible day for him. Fans should be super excited that that's the first time that we've really seen him be explosive. You saw it all of the last season where, you know, you knew that he was probably going to take over the starting role over C.J. Donaldson, but you hadn't really seen Jaheim White take over a game like we saw him do a season ago. And now this is the first time that you've seen that. 8.3 yards per carry for over 150 yards and a touchdown is great. But then you also have Garrett Green at 8.6 yards per carry. He gets a touchdown on 10 carries, just under 100 yards. C.J. Donaldson, 77 yards, two touchdowns. Yeah, Nico Markey will come in there for a little bit too. With Garrett Green hurt, he showed off his legs. He was running linebackers over. He was doing all sorts of things, making some excited plays. 46 yards for him. And like you said, 389 yards on the ground is an unbelievable number. But to me, it was the balance of the rushing attack. And I think that gives credit to the offensive line more than it does just the running backs in the backfield. Like I said, obviously Jaheim White was great, but whether it was C.J. Donaldson, Garrett Green, Nico Markey, no matter who was in the backfield, there were holes all over the place for West Virginia to run through, and it really just took the air out of that stadium, and that's what the rushing attack does. There was no time for Oklahoma State at all on offense. Their defense was just exhausted. It was long drive after long drive, and then West Virginia's defense would force a three and out, and the Oklahoma State defense would have to trot back onto the field, already still gassed, and would get run over all over again. So the balance of the rushing attack to me was the most impressive thing. Like, you can look at the explosive runs, but just how every single player out of the backfield was able to take those big runs, get 5-6 yards per carry. Like that to me, props to the offensive line, because that was impressive.
Yeah, definitely a testament to the offensive line's strength and how well they performed. But I just go back to Jaheim White. You know, leading up to the game, Chad Scott was saying that he expected more from Jaheim White. He knew that there was more there, and that he was expecting a breakout game, and he actually predicted that it would be against Oklahoma State. And I think that does a lot for the sophomore running back as he continues to go through the season. You know, everybody was talking about before the season like a sophomore slump or something, because he had a great season last year. You know, we didn't really see him until midseason, but once he really got going, like, he was explosive, and we saw that a lot on Saturday. So I believe that with that confidence boost he got, we might see that a lot more coming down the stretch here in the season. And then you spoke a little bit about Nico Markey. The way he just stepped into the game and just was able to run the offense, we heard a lot about that, like, in the offseason. Like, oh, yeah, Nico can run this offense. Like, yeah, we have full confidence in running this offense, and we saw that. So, I mean, they were right about that. He stepped in, you know, like, just a couple plays in, delivers a strike to Treylon Ray, gets West Virginia's first touchdown of the game. And then he didn't have another passing attempt, but on the ground, like you said, he was dominant. That truck defender, ESPN top 10, I don't know if it made it, but it should have. That was, for a quarterback to run over a safety like that, that was crazy. But yeah, like, the passing game, it was not as prevalent as maybe fans would like it to be, but when the running game, why shy away from the running game? Like, yeah, passing game is more fun to watch. Like, running game could be slow at times, but when you're running like that against a Power 4 team, against a Big 12 opponent, like, why shy away from it? And then on the defensive side of things, you know, I just look straight to Josiah Trotter. You know, that toe tap interception was really special. That's an NFL interception. I bet his dad would be very proud of that. West Virginia's leading tackler again in the game, and now they're leading tackler on the season. So it's a lot for the redshirt freshman.
Yeah, no, the defense as a whole looked phenomenal since basically the second half. The fourth quarter of the Kansas game on to this Oklahoma State game now. And, you know, maybe it has something to do with Jordan Leslie being up in the box. Maybe it doesn't. You know, he did say that it kind of helps slow the game down for him, takes the emotion out of the game, those sorts of things for making those calls. But they were flying around the field. They had plenty of three and outs. You mentioned it, two interceptions. The secondary finally got one before it was a defensive edge rusher that was able to get one. So now the secondary gets one, a linebacker gets one, and Trotter there. So all three aspects. The defensive line was great. They got to the quarterback a bunch, as they've been doing more and more as the weeks have gone on through this season. The secondary looked much, much better. The defensive calls looked better. They looked like the defense that fans saw all of last year, and that to me is big. And like you said, I mean, Josiah Trotter is, he's going to be a stud. And if people aren't realizing that already, I don't know what kind of football they've been watching. And obviously they haven't been watching him, because he is all over the field. You've heard about him since spring camp and the spring game, and Neil Brown saying, you know, this is going to be a guy that does a little bit of everything. And now he's really showcasing that little bit of everything on the field. And like you mentioned, that interception, just an incredible play. But it was an all-around defensive effort. It was the first game of the season that you really saw all three levels of the defense, the defensive line, the linebackers, and the secondary, really make plays. And there wasn't one area particularly that you can look at that game and say, you know, that group struggled. You know, you could look at the Pitt game and say, you know, the defensive line was great, but the secondary really struggled. The Penn State game, you know, the secondaries was all right. The defensive line and linebackers struggled to contain Drew Allar. Like, every game so far, there's been something that you can look at the defense and say that they were not good. But this Oklahoma State game, they put all three levels together. And for the first time, it wasn't perfect by any means. That's not what I'm trying to say. But for the first time, there weren't any major holes in the defense. And that was a really big sign to see. And if West Virginia can partner that with the rushing attack that fans have been waiting for all season long, I mean, that's, you're not going to get 389 yards on the ground every single week, but you start to put together close to 200 yard gains that West Virginia fans have been waiting for, that, you know, people have kind of been expecting with the backfield with Garrett Green and the offensive line. You partner that with a defense that's getting stops, and all of a sudden now you have a really complete football team.
Yeah, I just really agree with you there. They're playing like a unit, and they're going to have to play like that with number 11 Iowa State stepping into town this weekend, but we'll get to that in a second. You just looking at the numbers, West Virginia on third down, 9 for 15, which is a vast improvement from them earlier in the season. But even when they didn't get it on third down, they went for it on fourth down. The commentators were calling him fourth down Neil Brown, the way he kept going for it. But should have been, so they were 2 for 4 on fourth down, should have been 3 for 4 with that Garrett Green slide. Everyone kind of goes back to that play. Yeah, West Virginia won 38-14, but everyone was like kind of like thrown off by that play. Like, Garrett had a lot of open field and slid a little too early, and maybe some fans thought he was at the line again. You know, he got a first down. But Chad Scott actually talked about that this week, and he's like, yeah, he just doesn't get it. Like, jokingly, he was like, he just doesn't get it. He doesn't know when to stay up. Like, when it's time for him to stay up, he slides. When it's time for him to slide, he stays up. So, just like that decision, that like in-game decision making. Let's see if that continues to develop for Garrett Green. But overall, the offense, they had a day. I mean, Oklahoma State didn't get to return a single punt. The one time we saw Ollie Strah come out, you know, right back to the sideline. You know, penalty. Roughing the kicker. So just really impressed by that West Virginia offense.
Yeah, and you know, you kind of touched upon it a little bit. The passing game wasn't perfect for West Virginia, but why it didn't have to be. And when you rush for as many yards as you do, it doesn't have to be. But that is something that has to be cleaned up for West Virginia, because like I said, you're not going to rush for 389 yards every single week. This was a little bit of an anomaly game. Iowa State is going to be coming in with the sole purpose. I remember the last time leading up to this game in our podcast last week, we talked about it, that teams are going to load the box up against West Virginia. They're going to force them to have to throw the football. And if Iowa State is not watching the film from this Oklahoma State game and thinking to themselves, we have to contain the run, let everything else behind us go, let Garrett Green throw and beat us, make him throw for 350 yards to win the game, because you haven't seen it yet. And Garrett Green, as good as his legs were in that game, as good as the offense was, 9 for 15, you'd like maybe a little bit of a higher completion percentage, maybe some more shots down the field, only about 10 and a half yards per completion there, no touchdowns. I know Nico had that great 10-yard strike on by the goal line there. But that's got to be the focus for West Virginia moving forward, is to keep this offensive run. Attack, keep the offensive line going, keep, you know, if you can get 6 yards per carry, I think that's a very reasonable thing for West Virginia fans to like and for Neil Brown to expect from their team. 5-6 yards per carry with this team, but you might not be rushing the ball 65 times like they did against Oklahoma State. You're going to be taking shots down the field. And the accuracy by Garrett Green, the shots down the field, if you're going to pull an upset in front of a sold-out, blackout, cold rush crowd at night against the top 12 opponent, Iowa State number 11 in the country, coming in to try to take full control of the Big 12 conference, you have to be able to take those shots down the field. Rushing the ball is going to be essential. It's going to be the identity of West Virginia. But if they want to pull the upsets, you have to see Garrett Green get a little bit more accurate down the field and Neil Brown not be afraid to open up the playbook. Now, if they come out and they're able to rush for 6 yards per carry and go for almost 400 yards on the ground against Iowa State, by all means, don't throw the football. Like, I'm not going to sit here and say, you know, that's not the way to win games, because obviously that's a very easy way to win games, but it's going to be really hard to replicate. And I don't expect them to. So in that case, West Virginia is going to have to be able to throw the ball down the field, and it'll fall on Garrett Green. A lot of these games do. That's just kind of the era of college football, specifically now when you have a mobile quarterback and a throwing quarterback. If West Virginia wants to pull the upset against Iowa State, Garrett Green's going to have to take shots.
Yeah, definitely. Talking about this Iowa State game, absolutely huge. And I just want to take you through the roller coaster of what has been the West Virginia football season so far. So Penn State, leading up to Penn State, so much hype, so much anticipation, week one. West Virginia's looking okay in the first, and then towards the end of that first half, you know, it kind of fall off a little bit. And then obviously we had that vigorous rain delay, like thunder delay, that kept them in the locker room for over 2 hours. Then they come back and they just didn't finish the game strong, you know. And they didn't look entirely great. You know, obviously a lot of holes were like, you saw a lot of holes from their team. You know, Garrett Green didn't throw any interceptions, but he wasn't as accurate as you'd like him to be. And the run game couldn't totally get going against Penn State. And then obviously week two, you have UAlbany. I mean, most fans expected that them to beat a FCS team. I mean, you'd hope so, but still gave up over 300 yards passing. So the secondary is already like, you already got that in your back of mind. And then the Pitt game. So West Virginia's looking solid throughout. And then just at the end, up by 10, like, I can guarantee that fans don't want to hear it anymore, but that's still like, in those late game situations, having your defense be ready for those, I think, was a big takeaway from that. And then you got Kansas trying to bounce back from that Pitt game, and they do so. They just flipped the script. They beat Kansas late in the game, which did a lot, I believe, for them going in the bye week. You know, a little bit of momentum, and then they had the bye week. They got to have that week to evaluate, look over things, and prepare for this Oklahoma State game. And then the travel on the road, we just talked about the whole game. So now, number 11, Iowa State. And we're starting to get this hype back, you know, like towards the beginning of the season, after the Penn State game, after the Pitt game, I feel like some fans might have checked out. But after two straight wins to open conference play, I think they're back. I think they may be trusting the climb again. And to see what happens here in Morgantown on Saturday, it's going to be huge for the season and how this program is going forward. I mean,
yeah, I think there's two things that fans don't want to have. I mean, obviously they don't want a loss on Saturday, but specifically the two kinds of losses that they don't want to see from Neil Brown's team are a game where they come out absolutely flat and just do not look like they are ready to show up, as we've seen from some Neil Brown football teams in big games in the past. And the other one would be a blown lead, which we've also seen in West Virginia not being able to finish games under Neil Brown. Other than that, if West Virginia can just keep the football game close, keep a competitive game, and showcase that they are still a good team, I don't know if fans will necessarily completely fall off of this hype train of getting back onto this team that's a chance to win the Big 12 conference with a loss, specifically because of how good Iowa State is. If they're able to play competitive football, Garrett Green's able to showcase his arm, the defense is able to get a turnover or two and stop the run, and Jaheim White continues to look impressive, fans are going to be okay. You lose a close game at home, heartbreaking. You'd much rather win it, but then you got an opportunity the week after that to go win another ranked game and get right back on track. And one loss can still get you into the Big 12 Conference Championship. But for West Virginia, for the Iowa State game, this is it. Like, this this is the moment. They've put themselves back in after an atrocious 1-2 start. And like you said, fans kind of ready to be done with the team, to be done with the coaching staff. They have now fought their way back. They shouldn't have won that Kansas game, but they did. Many people, really nobody picked them against Oklahoma State, but they won that game. They are now 2-0, and the opportunity presents themselves. You have the Cole Rush game that was designed for Penn State, but you could make the argument that it's almost better to have it now at this point in the season in a must-win game that could put you in the driver's seat to get to Dallas and get a playoff spot at night, sold out, biggest opponent outside of Penn State. This is the moment for Neil Brown. This is the game that he's got to win. This team's got to win this game. He has yet to have one of these type of wins. We've seen a big one against Baylor that saved his career. You saw a big one against an okay Oklahoma game. He almost beat Oklahoma on the road a couple seasons ago, fell short in that one. These are the games. Like, he's had a couple of these, but this one seems different because this one, the implications are there. It's not just a big game that fans in West Virginia can pull an upset. It's an upset that can put you in the driver's seat to go make the college football playoff. And those implications have fans right back in the seats. Like you said, Ryan, they are bought back in. Milan Puskar is going to be rocking when that Cole Bell rings and that team's about ready to take the field. I can only imagine the hype video that the media team and creative team there for Milan Puskar is working on to get the fans going, because it is going to be insane. It's going to be the first night kickoff with the new lights, like everything. You couldn't draw it up better for West Virginia in a bigger game. So I'm excited to see how the team's going to come out. And like I said, the two things that cannot happen if you are Neil Brown is a slow start or a slow finish, and both of those could cost you the games. If they can avoid those, keep it close, and maybe pull an upset, this program, I mean, the sky becomes the limit then.
Yeah, I mean, totally agree with you there. But just like looking at this Iowa State game, this Iowa State team a little bit, it all starts with their quarterback, Rocco Becht. I mean, son of West Virginia Hall of Famer, who will be honored at the game on Saturday, Anthony Becht. He runs their offense. He gets it out to multiple people. On the season, he's got 9 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, and just around, I believe, 1,600 yards. And so he's their guy back there. They have a running back by committee. So they run a good offensive scheme. So I believe the defense is going to be the focus for West Virginia here, obviously. What do you have to say about that?
Yeah, they're a super balanced offense that's going to beat you in a lot of different areas. Like you said, Becht is what makes it all go. He's very like Garrett Green, not in the mobile sense, but like he's the most important player for their offense in that kind of sense. You mentioned some of the stats. Running back by committee, they've got 3 running backs all with 41, 48, 48 carries. They're all over 200 yards as well. So very balanced offensive rushing attack. Receiving as well, they've got 2 guys specifically with the tight end Brammer that are over 400 yards then. So those are the 3 that West Virginia is going to have to look out for. And specifically when you get to the red zone, Jaden Higgins has 5 touchdowns on the year. They love to go to him deep. He's been an explosive play guy, 6'4 senior that goes up, is great in the red zone. Him and Becht have great connection there. They've done it 5 times this season. The offense is balanced. So yes, specifically for West Virginia, you're going to almost have to pick your poison, but you have to keep Becht in the pocket. When he gets out of the pocket, I know he's not very mobile, but he makes plays, and West Virginia struggles with that. If they can get pressure onto Becht and make him uncomfortable and not seeing things, not having time to pick apart West Virginia's secondary, it could make a long day for Iowa State because everything kind of goes around him. They've got great balance around him, a good offensive line, but everything goes around Becht. Defensively, Iowa State's one of the best defenses in the Big 12. It's going to be a struggle for West Virginia to score points, but if they're able to take the time out of the clock, you won't necessarily need to score a lot of points, and you do that with running the football, and that's going to be important for West Virginia in this game. I see West Virginia having to make this a game in the 20s. If this gets out of hand and gets to 30, 40 points, I don't know if West Virginia is going to be able to keep up against the Iowa State defense like this, because when you match the Iowa State and the Cyclone defense up against the Mountaineer defense, it is a huge advantage that goes towards Iowa State there. So I see Iowa State being able to get a couple stops. West Virginia, if they're not able to, they're going to have to be able to run the football to take time out of the game and help their defense out.
Yeah, and you look at this matchup from the West Virginia offense and the Iowa State defense. Neil Brown alluded to this. He said that Iowa State's got some big boys up there up front. You know, their defensive tackles, they're big, they're tall, and so that really opens up the possibility for these like these quick passes, the quick screen passes. You know, get your guys out in space. So I don't know if we're gonna see a ton of CJ Donalds in here, but I believe that Jaheim White is going to be the guy. If somebody's going to beat Iowa State's defense, I believe it's going to have to be Jaheim White on the ground. I believe Garrett Green's going to have to move around, you know, pull off some magic and get the ball to guys out in space and let them make plays. CJ Donaldson, he's been automatic for West Virginia in scoring touchdowns and getting those short gains, but this Iowa State front is really strong. I mean, just has like a unit. And so I don't know if West Virginia is going to be able to effectively move the ball against them. So it's just.
Yeah, I mean, I think the other thing that they're going to need is a wide receiver to step up. You didn't really have one against Oklahoma State, but that's because you didn't throw the football a whole lot. Go back to the Kansas game when offense was kind of struggling. It was Hudson Clement that stepped up. Maybe it's him again, but Garrett Green's got to find somebody against this Iowa State team to pick up chunk plays and move the ball and get the fans into it. Maybe it's Treylon Ray. Maybe it's Cole Taylor, the tight end. Maybe it's Rodney Gallagher of that sort or someone. Someone's got to be Garrett Green's guy to go to that has a big game. You're going to need a wide receiver that gets up well over 100 yards and gets about 7 or 8 catches because, like you said, running the football might be an issue against this Iowa State team. And if that's the case, like it was a little bit against Kansas, you're going to have to find other ways to move the ball. And Garrett Green hasn't really had, besides that game with Hudson Clement, a wide receiver be on the same page with him for an entirety of a football game. That's going to be big. Those are also ways that you pull off upsets. You're able to run the football and you have wide receivers that make plays down the field. If Garrett Green can get in connection with a couple of those, you partner that with Jaheim White explosiveness from the backfield. I think that's going to have to be the recipe for the Mountaineers.
Most definitely. And if it's Hudson Clement, great. You know, he's been really consistent for West Virginia. You know, broke out last year and then he's just been, hey, look, I wasn't this one hit wonder. I'm not just a cool story. I'm a good player that can go out there and make plays. But a player to look out for that West Virginia might be getting back this week is Justin Robinson. Remember that big catch he had against Pitt? And so if he's the guy, that's going to be huge for the Mountaineers and them trying to win this ball game. And then you look past Iowa State here. Next week, they have another currently ranked opponent in Kansas State, another night game. So these two games here are going to be a grind for West Virginia. So to see how they're able to take their players and have the longevity on these 2 weeks is going to be huge because it's like they flipped it. They're gonna have to flip the page really quick there.
Yeah, no, they are. And West Virginia fans knew coming in that this was going to be about a four-game gauntlet for West Virginia. You had Oklahoma State, who I know is having a bit of a down year, but still a very quality football program. Then you get Iowa State, then you get Kansas State, then you get Arizona on the road. Four very tough games for West Virginia. You conclude before the bye as well. Kansas was in the top 25 to start the year. Another team is having a little bit of a down year. But nonetheless, the opportunity is there. Nobody really expected West Virginia to necessarily go undefeated in the Big 12 this season. I know there were aspirations to win the conference, but that doesn't mean that you have to go undefeated to do so. It would help, but there was a reality that West Virginia is probably going to drop one of those five games when you were looking at it to start the season. So even if West Virginia is able to split one of these next two and then go on the road and pick up a big win against Arizona, you're now sitting at 4-1 in conference play. You're still at the top of the standings, and maybe the win that you have is over Kansas State. That would be now their second loss. So that's another team now that you bump over. And now you have Iowa State, who's undefeated, and you're tied for second place with everyone else with one loss there. You can bump Kansas State down. You can bump Arizona down. BYU, are they going to be able to keep it up? Maybe not. You play Texas Tech later in the year for a big tiebreaker, and that one you might be able to jump over them in the rankings. So it's not the end of the world in these next 2 weeks, but West Virginia's got to find a way to at least get one. They have to get one of these ranked wins, and you have the perfect situation now of back-to-back night games. And you can't let the emotions get too high or too low. You've heard that all season long, going from Penn State and Pitt and the rivalry game and all of that. You beat Iowa State, you got to enjoy the win, keep the momentum high, but don't let your emotions get too high where you have a little bit of a hangover game, like an Alabama against a Vanderbilt type game coming off a Georgia win, where you're not ready for Kansas State. And on the opposite end of that, if you lose to Iowa State, you got to bounce back and be ready to go because you have another tough opponent coming in and one that you have to win if you want to be competing for the Big 12 championship. So it's not do or die for West Virginia to get both of these wins, but they absolutely need one. And the opportunity to get both would put them completely in the driver's seat to get to Dallas in the Big 12 championship game. But it all starts with Saturday. West Virginia's got to at least compete and be ready to show up.
Yeah, I completely agree with you there. It's not like previous years where Texas and Oklahoma are just running everybody out of town. The Big 12 is as competitive as ever this year. And so for West Virginia to take one of these next two games they got coming up would be huge for their season and huge for the Big 12 conference. So this Saturday, I think that West Virginia fans should obviously pay attention to the West Virginia-Iowa State game, but look around the Big 12 and see how things are playing out.
Yeah, there's a lot of other games that are going on and will be going on throughout the rest of the season. I mean, you look at the teams that are right there with West Virginia. So you have Texas Tech that is ahead of West Virginia. Well, good news for the Mountaineers, you play Texas Tech, so you can hand them that loss if you'd like. Iowa State, also undefeated at 2-0. You play Iowa State this week, a chance to jump above them. The only two other teams that are above you are BYU and Colorado. BYU has to go on the road to Utah, a very tough game to play there. Obviously, if Utah is able to upset them, then each of those teams have one loss. Colorado, also 2-0. They probably have the easiest schedule remaining, but they play Kansas State at home this upcoming week, and will get Colorado later in the season, or excuse me, get Utah later in the season as well. So they play some difficult games. Are they going to be able to stay undefeated in the Big 12? Probably not. Kansas State, right one game back. You can beat them. You play Arizona, who's a game back. Utah, you got to watch them. But like, West Virginia's in the prime spot. There are only five, or excuse me, there's five teams in the Big 12 that are undefeated right now, and West Virginia are one of them. They could afford one loss, but with how competitive the Big 12 is, you're expecting other teams to probably lose too. The top teams still have to play the top teams. The middle teams are good enough to beat the top teams. Anything can happen in the Big 12 conference. And that's why I personally think one loss and you're fine if you're West Virginia. If you can get out of these 2 weeks with a split, with how competitive the conference is. I mean, you have Utah right now in the middle of the pack. You have Kansas and Oklahoma State, two preseason top 25 teams down in the bottom of the conference. There's going to be some upsets. There's going to be games. Oklahoma State is bound to win a big game at some point. Kansas has the potential to upset and win a big game at some point. That's the parody of the Big 12. That's what this conference has branded itself on over the past couple of years since they knew Texas and Oklahoma are going to leave. They're now one of the deepest and most balanced conferences in all of college football. So it's going to make for really exciting play down the end. And if West Virginia can get one of these next two games and get Arizona on the road, you're sitting at 4-1 in conference play, heading down the final stretch, coming off a bye, with full potential to make a run in Dallas, but you have to get one of the next two. Like, it can't be stressed enough because the opportunity is more, it has more than presented itself. The path is clearly there for West Virginia. It's in the sights now. You got to go take advantage of it.
I think you bring up some really good points there, but to put it quite simply, things are getting interesting surrounding West Virginia football. So stay tuned. For Tanner Mounts, I'm Ryan Roddy. Thanks for joining us today.